Coming up on this episode of Cryptid Addicted. And I don't want to be too critical.
Do it.
but I'm gonna.
Wow. I think you've comprehensively demolished this sighting.
And then I was like, can birds get mange? Huh?
Tell me they can. I love mange.
Hello!
Hi! Hello! It's us.
It's episode 16 of the Who Dis mini-sodes. This is the podcast Cryptid Addicted. I'm Megan. That's Patty on the man one.
There we go.
And welcome. Yeah. And this episode is kind of an interesting one because, in my opinion at least, I feel like we've got two different stories. One on one of the most believable cryptids in the world and one on the most not believable cryptids in the world.
Yeah.
And I'll let the people make up their mind which one I'm talking about. Yes. I'll do this one. Okay. So peeps saw pterodactyls. Okay. So on the 16th of August, three people saw what they described as a pterodactyl flying above them in Tempe, Arizona, America. This was a 44-year-old woman, her daughter, and her friend, who I assume means her daughter's friend.
Maybe.
It's some fantastic journalism there when you can't actually tell what is happening. So this was around 7:30 p.m. at night, and inside the article it has some quotes from, I assume, the 44-year-old woman, who is not named. Quote, "It caught my attention because it was so big."
All right.
And then
good stuff.
And then so apparently the sighting lasted approximately 2 minutes. I said, "Look at that bird. What kind of bird is that?" My daughter said, "It's a bat." And I said, "No, it's too big to be a bat. It has a tail." ...
Okay, that's not true. That's not true.
"It looks like a pterodactyl." Blah, blah, blah. Woman describes the animal as featherless and having a tail, quote, "with something on the end of it. It was black and it did not soar. It was flapping its wings to fly. It had scalloped wings like a bat." Okay, I've just Googled scallop. It says ornament, an edge or material with scallops. Well, that doesn't fucking help.
There we go.
The beaded late... Wait, no. No, that's stupid. Gather or dredge for scallops. Oh,
yeah.
God, the fuck? No, that's just the shellfish.
Okay.
Went scalloping. Okay, she's... The beaded lace overlay scalloped the neckline of the dress. Oh, I'm not woman enough to know what that means. I'm just going to assume it means like tessellating. There's just a whole bunch of like shepherd's pies as well.
I assume it means looks a little like a scallop shell, like that sort of.
What does a scallop shell look like?
Well, it looks a bit like a bat wing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, anyway.
I just wonder whether they did some Googling of pterosaurs or pterodactyls and then came across this term, because it's not a term you hear very often and most people don't know what it means.
Mm.
I don't know, maybe it's an old person thing though and it's just us who's out of the loop.
Maybe.
Sorry, a mid-aged person thing.
A very young and has lots of life to lead. No. Okay, well, I have quite a lot to say about this, but okay. How about you go first? Because we all know, and there's evidence in recording, that you believe in pterodactyls. So before
that's very
I
fair of you. Thank
get
you.
All skeptical on your ass, Patty, who dis?
Let me go on a flight of fancy to begin with. Well, to be honest, like, I don't think there's much to say about the actual sighting itself. There's no evidence. There's not a lot of detail beyond what you could find in like the Wikipedia article for pterodactyls.
Mm.
I thought probably the bit of the article that you could dig into the most was the related sightings bit.
Mm-hmm.
So they, for reference, this is on like a cryptid news website. So the guys who are writing these articles, big believers, and they've got a repository of other sightings and they're kind of trying to link them together. So they mention there was, so this sighting is obviously from this year, 2019, and then they mentioned there was a man in Michigan in 2015 who also saw a giant bird that could have been a pterodactyl. First point, Michigan is 2,500 kilometers away from Arizona. It's barely in the same country.
Big wings? Don't swallows, like, travel heaps?
Yeah, but it would have to fly over, like, almost every highway in America and like huge cities. I don't know. Yep. And it's three years ago. Other sightings. There was a cluster of more recent sightings, or so it appeared from the article. So they say that there were two people in Nevada, which is obviously close to Arizona, saw a pterosaur in July 2015. And then they say 2 weeks later, a minister and the minister's daughter spotted a dinosaur-like flying object. What they don't mention, when I looked into the article, is 2 weeks later, a minister and their daughter sort of brought this up, but they were referencing a 1994 encounter. So, I don't know. It's just, it's a bit of a hodgepodge. These things are all over the place. One was in Sacramento, California. One was in Nevada. One was in Michigan. I mean, even if you think these are migrating animals, like, they're not going to be migrating between four different spots. And to do all this, they'd have to fly over, like, big populated areas. We're talking, like, Reno, Sacramento, you know, these are, you would expect a lot of sightings. Unless they're doing all their flying in the middle of the night and up, I don't know, there's military bases around here, like Air Force bases with radar, like, you think someone would have picked something up over the course of 20 years. So I don't know. I'm not hugely on board with this. But you know, it's hard to say. There's no evidence, so how can you judge? Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Who dis?
Okay. I have a few things to say. So I suppose I'd have gone into different different answers to who dis. So first one, is it a pterosaur or like a pterodactyl? For those who don't know so much, like, pterodactyl is like a species inside the umbrella term of pterosaur. So kind of like the Brontosaurus is a umbrella term dinosaur. So that's when we say pterosaur, it's just to cover all because a pterodactyl, whatever, who cares? Oh, anyway, so is it a pterosaur? Well, the fact is, basically, there's a quote where she says it has a long tail and it has something at the end, like a triangle diamond or a spade or something. Well, it's a well-known fact that earlier species of pterosaurs had long tails, while later evolutions of pterosaurs ended up having highly reduced tails. So if this is a pterosaur and it still survives today, it's not only the latest, like the one that was extinct last or latest or most recent, it's like a pre-evolved pterosaur before it underwent all that evolution and then died.
Take that, Linda, you idiot. These are clearly people who've just Googled pterodactyl or have seen like The Land Before Time as kids and are like, oh yeah, definitely saw one of those.
Yeah.
And had a spade and everything.
Yeah. Okay. And then if we go into it even more, which I did because it's me, there are five types of pterosaurs that have long tails. So if you look at all the different types of pterosaurs, only five of them have long tails. Four of them have a spade thing on the end, so we can discount that one because she said it had a spade diagonal thing on the end. So out of these four, one of them has a 3-foot wingspan, so it's out because that's too small. One of them has an 18-inch wingspan, which is out because it's too small. So that leaves two species of pterosaur that fit this description. These two species have a wingspan of around 6 foot, which is kind of on point with what she said. And they are, here we go, Campylognathoids and Ramphorhynchus. Yeah, whatevs. Anyway, there's these two species that fit the description. Both of these animals' fossils have been found in Europe only. not in America. So.
But they fly.
Yeah, it can fly. But I think that's Why pretty. Not?
I think you've comprehensively demolished this.
Damning.
This sighting.
I mean, we did pterodactyls and pterosaurs pretty early on in the podcast, episode 3, if you want to go back and listen to Paddy make a fool of himself. But since that time.
In my defense.
Here we go.
It was a whole ship of sailors who all said they saw the same thing.
Yep.
Anyway, clearly they were all coordinating to pull my leg, but carry on.
And so there's this one guy called Jonathan Whitcomb, and he is basically a cryptozoologist. He comes up a lot if you're learning about modern pterosaurs or the Ropin, which crypto heads will know of. And I looked into him more because he comes up a few times in the American sighting. He interviews a few people who've seen pterosaurs and he collects them and he like talks about them. And he talks about that famous photo, the photo of the pterodactyl that we talked about. And I looked into him. It turns out, like, and I don't want to judge anyone for their beliefs or be too critical.
Do it.
But I'm gonna. Basically, he is a creationist, hardcore, and a denier of evolution outright.
Wow.
And now this is based on what I've looked up online. That may not be the case. You know, if he's listening, absolutely give me, like, let's email us and let's chat, because this is why this is how he's being portrayed online. And the research I have done indicates that if someone is to come to him and say, I saw something weird in the sky, it looked a bit like a pterodactyl, could have been a bird though, his prerogative is to say,
nope, not a bird, it's a dinosaur.
It's a dinosaur. So, okay, if it's not a pterodactyl, we've kind of eliminated that. What is it? I've looked into a bird, okay? It's a fucking bird, right? But why does it look like it has lack of feathers, like a bat?
Mm.
Okay? And then I was like, can birds get mange? Huh? Huh?
Tell me they can. I love mange.
They can't, no.
Oh.
But they can get something really... can they get something similar to mange?
Yeah.
And that's not really. Apparently, parrots can pull out their own feathers when they're stressed in, like, captivity and stuff.
Yeah.
Penguins sometimes do this. It's called feather loss disorder. But that's different. And it's also important to note that when something pulls its feathers out, the feathers are so important for flight that it no longer can fly. So it being a bird with, like, some fucked up disease, some sort of stress related
wouldn't explain
feather plucking thing is not the answer. And then when I was in this wild goose case, whoa, I mean wild goose chase, I found a museum that randomly is showing off an owl skeleton and a taxidermied owl. And then a taxidermied owl, if you just plucked all its feathers off, and what that would look like. And it looks like a fucking alien, so I'm going to show you that now.
Oh my god. Oh Jesus. That's so terrifying.
I know.
That's what they look like over there. Wow.
Yeah. So people listening at home, you can find these photos on Facebook and you can click along with us. The time code is in the photo, so if you want that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
That's
oh
scary.
My god. And you see the, like, the cross section where, like, where the body is within all the feathers.
Oh no. I don't like it.
Wow.
Its head is so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you don't want to sleep tonight, have a look at that photo. Okay. So then I looked at bats. Is it a bat? Is this just like some fucking misidentified giant bat species? And it said it had a tail. And I was like, I don't know that bats have tails. They're a mammal, so I guess they could have tails. Do any bats have tails? Yes, two species of bats have tails. They are called free-tailed bats. However, the biggest of the free-tailed bats in the world, it lives in America, ooh, which is good.
Promising.
But it also fits in the palm of your hand, no, which is bad.
Less promising.
So
where are we going with this? It sounds like we're on track to a verdict of bullshit.
Bullshit. Yeah, well, I still want to give some sort of explanation. Like, I can't just be like, ooh, bullshit, it's my opinion, man. Next question. I actually want to give, like...
What you can after having, like, shut down all the alternatives. That is a fair place to end.
Well, what did they see then, okay? So what did they see? If it's not this, it's not that.
They saw nothing. They saw an opportunity for some media coverage.
I'm going to believe they saw something. So my options are twofold. One.
Wait, so you think people just don't make stuff up? That's your view?
I know people make stuff up, but I'm not even...
Well, what if these are some of those people?
This was three different people at once.
No, this was a woman, her daughter, and a friend.
Three people.
Three very intimately connected people. One entity, really.
Okay, I've gone broader here now. I'm not even just talking about the lady and her two friend kids. I'm talking about generally speaking, okay? For someone, a lot of these sightings are the same. Like, I looked up, it was there, it looked like a pterodactyl. That's the story. What are these people saying, okay? So I have two answers. And, you know, some of these could be, you know, some cases could be option one, some cases could be option two. First one is a man-made object. So there are drones, kites, and robots that all look like pterodactyls, just like for fun, because people are fucking annoying. I thought I had a picture. Let me send you one.
I have a friend who made is big into drones, and he made one that looked like a witch on a broomstick, because obviously that's a fun thing to do. I can easily see someone making a pterodactyl version of that. The difficulty is that these sightings all said that it flapped, right? Like, it flaps its wings. That would be harder to make.
Yeah. It would be harder to make, but I mean that's a. I mean, right here, this is a photo of a kite.
Yes.
I mean, it. Who the fuck? Okay, anyway, that's one of the theories.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I saw that, it'd freak me out. Unless
you saw it, yeah. I mean, it's got obvious strings, but like, oh, I had another point. So sorry, just on this specific sighting. So they said. Where are we? Blah, 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 blah. They are in Tempe, Arizona, America. And they said it was around 7:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. And it was August 16th. So was I went, what time is sunset, motherfuckers? Well, it is 7:13 p.m. is when sunset is happening. So it's like 15 minutes past sunset that this happened. Well, 17 minutes to be exact.
And maybe fading light left in the sky.
Yeah, possibly sunlight coming in your eyes. Yeah. Anyway, the last option is an obvious one. And it's like the leading theory of what explains pterodactyls. It is that people are seeing a great blue heron or a sandhill crane flying. Mm-hmm. So I have a photo of a sandhill crane here, and I've also got a photo of a blue heron.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that one of the related sightings they mentioned, the one from the minister and the daughter, that was actually from like 1994, they mentioned that as well, because they were bird watchers, and they were like, no, we know what a blue heron looks like, and this isn't a blue heron. But I mean, this is also a 20-year-old encounter, so I don't know.
That's true. Well, the way that their legs kind of flap behind them when they're flying, the legs look like tail, and then their feet look kind of like a spade.
I see it. Yeah.
Or a bump, a bulb.
Yeah, maybe.
And the scalloping, I thought, could be feathers. You know, low light conditions. I'm such a skeptic. For now, until the next one.
I think you're allowed to keep your believer credentials and not believe in pterodactyls. So I think you can emerge intact from this one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know. My preferred explanation is I like the kite/drone one, but I mean, who's flying a kite at 7:30 p.m. and you can usually see it? And the fact that it doesn't really explain the flapping unless it's a hyper advanced sort of robot drone thing. I don't know. I think it's just bullshit. That's what I'm going for. But each to their own. All right, should we move on to Encounter 2?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought we'd also just pause here to shout out to our Patreons, because that's part of the perk thing that you get.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
What's the perk again? I forget. I remember the...
You just get a shout out on the podcast. We say hi to you. But thank you for joining.
Oh, and there are some... We have some to shout out.
We have some. Yeah, we do.
Wow.
Oh my god. So we would like to welcome Babbo, Alex, and excitingly, Deborah Hatswell, who is one of the leading experts in the British Bigfoot that I interviewed last weekend.
Oh.
So she's become a Patreon, which is so sweet and so lovely and so supportive of the whole community. Her official Patreon name is Deborah Hatswell Worldwide Bigfoot Reports. And she also has a Patreon, so if you want to support her work, which I would highly recommend, she's a cool lady. It's like a real life mentor. Check it out. I mean, but yeah, welcome to Babbo and Alex and Deborah.
Welcome.
Welcome to the team.
Cool. Oh, that's so cool. We have supporters. Well, good for us.
Yeah. So that's they are two drop bears and a Tassie tiger.
I see. What else are they entitled to?
Well, they've got cryptozoology news, just so like sort of things we cover about now. This next story that's coming up, actually, I shared as soon as it came out, and I teased that we're going to be doing a Who Dis episode on it. So this is the Who Dis episode. When I came back from Romania, the Tassie Tiger, which is the $5 a month Patreon, who is Babbo, anyone who is tier 2 or above gets wrap-up expedition photos and content. So I showed off all my Romanian Hoya Bucu Forest photos on there and explained about what I kind of did, what I kind of saw, when it's coming up, what's going to be in the video. There's also cryptid voting, so you're not allowed to look because you'll get spoilers. But I've put two options for an upcoming cryptid and the votes are in, so I think I know what I'm doing. Yeah, it's probably other shit, but check it out. It's at www.patreon.com/cryptidaddicted.
All right. Oh, well, that's very encouraging. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone.
On
again, but specifically hello to you.
You three special people.
Yes.
Okay. Well, should we dive into... I broke this into two encounters, but I suppose they're kind of like the same. They're kind of joined.
Linked. Yeah, kind of. And the video you sent as well also connects them. The Big Cats in Britain.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, sure. So the first of the encounters is someone says they have sighted a puma in a churchyard in Powick, so St. Peter's PV Church in Powick, or C of E, sorry. Mm. So this happened 22nd of August, quite recently, about a month ago, and they've got a little bit of footage of it. They sort of zoom in the middle of the footage, and then you see this cat prowling between some tombstones in the graveyard of this church. Now... I'll keep describing it. The puma, in inverted commas, has a collar, and was described as about the size of a medium sized dog. The person who saw it says about the size of a spaniel. I would note that actual pumas, i.e., cougars in the puma genus, are the second heaviest cat in the world. They weigh between 55 and 70 kilograms. They're between 2 and 2.5 meters long, and they eat anything from cows to giraffes. I don't think this is a puma. That is my own view.
Fuck, I didn't even get to the who dis.
It is about a quarter the size of the tombstone you see in the video. It is smaller than 1 foot tall, I would say.
Okay.
This is a house cat. This is a large, this is a big cat, like a big house cat, is my view.
I did not see a collar.
Well, the woman says there's a collar. I don't see a collar either, but she's adamant there is one. Yeah, I'm very confused as to why this nice woman has contacted anyone and said that she saw a puma and then submitted footage that shows she definitely has not seen a puma. But I don't know. What do you think about it all?
Are you going to ask me properly?
Who dis?
Yay! Okay. Well, I mean...
The second sighting is much better, I should say, for listeners, that the first sighting is a bit let down.
Okay, well, my answer was going to be an alien big cat, a phantom big cat. But now that you have said it had a collar, or that she said it had a collar, I'm reevaluating that answer. I think it's unfair for you to say that it, size-wise, is a quarter or a third or whatever you said of a tombstone, because it's in the foreground. You can't really tell how... In the background, you can't tell how far away it is from those tombstones. And from the photo...
They're on a slope. Still, if it was too far behind, you wouldn't be able to see it at all.
Slope means it's even taller to you to be able to see it. It looks like... It's like half the size of that tombstone.
No, because you can see where its feet touch the ground. It's not like its feet are obscured. It's not taller than it. I grant it may be a little bit behind the tombstones, but I don't think so much. I don't know. It doesn't look very big. And like, this is what they saw as well. They're looking at the same data as you are looking at and judging its size. I don't know. So you think maybe it's bigger than that?
Are you sure she says...
She definitely says the collar.
Yeah. She doesn't say, does it have a collar? Or can you see a collar? Something like that.
Let me pull it up again. She says, it does look like it has a collar on, is what she says. And then she goes on to say, so if it's something like a puma, maybe it escaped from someone who owned it. But obviously you don't put collars on pumas. Because, I mean, if it is a puma, like, hypothetically, if it's an alien cat, like, someone used to own a wild jungle cat and let it go, like, it's probably from ages ago, right? Because you're not able to own those things without a license since, was it 1976 or something? I don't know. That's my view. And actually, looking at the photo, like, it's... Definitely, like, there's only a few meters behind the tombstones for it to be. Like, it can't be that far back.
Right.
It just doesn't look very big.
Damn.
That's okay, though. There's another sighting. So, can I do the next sighting as well? And then...
Yeah, okay. House cat, and then go, please, move along.
Yeah, in my view, house cat. The next one, much more exciting. This is in Leeds, in St. Aidan's Nature Reserve, which I assume is like just one of those big parks. We have deers and rabbits and the kinds of things that actually a big cat would probably eat a lot of. This is from the 17th of August, which I note is 5 days before the sighting we just discussed. This is another reason I think they're probably not related, because it's 200 kilometers away, 5 days apart. I mean, the cat would really have to have like galloped from one side to the other to for that to be possible. So I suspect they're unrelated. But this one is very interesting, because he spotted this thing 200 meters away, and he said he was only able to see it at that distance because it was so large. He's taken a photo of it before it's sort of gone into the shrub. It's not the most high-resolution photo, but it's clearly a cat, and from that distance, he had to be at maximum zoom. It sounds like it was clearly larger than a house cat, and that's what he says as well. Interestingly, he posted online, and a lot of people said, it's a puma, but he specifically rejects that explanation. He says, no, it's not that size. It's not the size of like a leopard or anything, but it is also much bigger than a house cat. So he doesn't really have an explanation for it, but I thought it was interesting. He sounds like a really credible source, because he's saying he's rejecting
sensationalization.
And then also, this is in a region that's had a bunch of these sightings before, so it's within, I think, 30 kilometres of the Huddersfield golf course, where there was another big cat sighting where photographs were taken a couple of years ago. And there's just been a lot in this area. So it seems, if you were to ask me who dis, which you can now, if you would like.
Patty, who dis?
I think this is an alien cat. So I think there's one or perhaps a small population of cougars or leopards or some kind of big black cat that used to be held by rich people or circuses were released and have managed to survive on rabbits and pheasants and things in the last couple of decades.
Maybe even some deer and sheep and stuff.
So I think this could really plausibly be an alien cat.
Cool.
Yeah, if you want, you can talk to that video afterwards, which really catalogues, like, there's a lot of evidence that there probably are alien cats in the British countryside. But anyway, that's my view. What did you think of the Leeds one? Who dis?
Definitely same thing. I found this really cool website that I will send to you because it has a Google Maps, again, that has... It's very isolated. It's, like, on the... never eat soggy Weet-Bix. No, it's on the southwest corner of England. There's just like all these little points of cat sightings.
Never eat soggy Weet-Bix.
Only Australians will get that.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so that's just a picture on that website. But if you go to the link inside that, you'll find it.
Wow, that's very cool.
I've already shared this on the Patreon, so you guys can find it there, but also I'll share it for the episode in Facebook.
That's interesting. Are they only tracking the sightings in Devon and Cornwall?
Well, this map was actually specifically put together from, like, police reports, so it's only when a police report was made about a big cat in this, like, it's not called a borough, it's called, like, an area. I don't know, it's an English term for it, like, an area. So this is just... police reports in with this specific area that this map was built. So I have some notes supporting why this is a phantom big cat, and I mean, like, this whole thing deserves, like, its own big episode. We'll go into it for sure. There's so many photos out there. There's so much great evidence for why there are big cats in the UK and Australia, but specifically. There's something called the British Big Camp... The British Big Cat Society. This man named Danny Bamping, and he said that between 60 and 70% of sightings were of big black cats, but in Devon and Cornwall, there are usually... and there's an unusually high number of puma sightings.
Hmm.
So this is, like, that area. Cornwall is, like, the most southern... no, westerly tip... sort of southwestly tip. The Dangerous Animal Act came into force in 1976, and these big cats have a lifespan of 15 to 20 years. So those initial animals released during that Dangerous Animal Act, which Patty mentioned before, was when, like, you had to buy a license to own, like, an exotic animal, and then heaps of people just went, well, fuck, I can't afford that. And then they went, well, you're going to have to kill your animal then. And then these people went, well, no, I'm just going to release it into the wild. So that happened in 1976. And based on the lifespan of these animals, these aren't those initial release animals. This is going to have to be second or third generation. So they are breeding with each other if this is what they came from. And the area between the three moors, Bodmin, Exmoor, and Dartmoor, seem to be hot spots. So you may know, like, there's a few, like, the Beast of Bodmin, obviously it's like there's the Sherlock Holmes thing.
Is the Hound of Baskervilles?
No, that's wrong. There's no basketballs mentioned. So Mr. Bamping said that he estimated there's between 50 and 100 exotic cats across the UK, which seems kind of low to me.
Well, I guess these were things owned by rich, like, lords and stuff in the past, right? Or by circuses. So
yeah.
Yeah, you would expect a low-ish number.
I suppose so.
I know Lord Byron used to have, his college room in Cambridge, used to keep a wild bear.
oh my god.
Again, because you could. I think the only reason he ended up having to get rid of it is because the college itself had an internal policy against bears.
oh my god.
Perfectly legal.
It's just like when you go to the Tower of London and they had like all these exotic animals there, like a polar bear. anyway, so Mr. Bamping said that these animals can travel around 25 kilometers in a night. So the beast of Bodmin Moor, Exmoor, and Dartmoor could all be the same animal.
Interesting. Okay, well, that definitely rules out the two sightings from today being the same animal, because they would have to have traveled 40 kilometers a day.
Yeah, and looks like a different size. Definitely, I mean, if you compare tail to tail, because you can see both tails very well. The second one is, this photo only, is thicker and shorter. So,
I wonder if if there are alien cats, which I think there probably are, I wonder if they would ever have been able to reproduce with regular cats or not at all. My feeling is not. To produce offspring.
Well, you can get like a liger.
That then can't reproduce themselves, but that are like between the size of either cat.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can get like a tiger and a lion having a liger.
Yeah.
But I don't know how natural that is.
Like a tabby leopard or something.
Cute. So Mr. Bamping said, in the 20 years since the society was founded, we have found around 20 bodies of dead big cats around the UK.
Wow.
This included a jungle cat on Dartmoor. I tried my best to like find out more information about that, and I didn't find amazing information. However,
you think they would have published that? Like, that's a pretty exciting find.
Yes,
they would have made some noise about finding like definite proof there's a big cat.
I know, right? But you can always just say it was just like a one-off or whatever.
Huh, even so.
Okay. I had a list. Oh, it was a BBC article.
Well, I know that video you sent me, which we'll also post, mentioned that like Harrods, the big department store in London, until like halfway through the 20th century, they would sell these wild animals, including like baby elephants and baby leopards.
yeah. How fucked up is that?
So they sound relatively easy to obtain as long as you had money.
Here we go. Okay, so here we go. This is a BBC.com article, and it says, and it talks about the British Bigfoot. No, God. Okay. All right. Where am I? This is a BBC article that talks about the British phantom big cats. And it's like pretty, I mean, not skeptical. It's pretty on the side of, yeah, there's crazy shit out there in this form. And there's a little paragraph that says, for example, a handful of such exotic cats are known to have been captured or killed while roaming wild in the UK. A puma was captured in Scotland in 1980. A jungle cat was killed by a car in rural Shropshire, probably, in 1989. A lynx was reportedly shot in Norwich in 1991. A spotted leopard was shot in the Isle of Wight in 1993, great year. And another lynx was captured alive in London in 2001. And it says of these animals are believed to have been escaped from private collections or zoos.
And those are just ones that have been like captured or killed.
Yeah. And then to top it all off, I have got a photo to share with you of that mountain lion that was killed in Scotland. They basically taxidermied it and now it's like in a museum somewhere. So this is the mountain lion that was shot in 1980 in Scotland. It's not black. And actually, all of that list of cats that I read out, none of them are panther-like creatures. They're all like lynxes, which are fawny-coloured, and mountain lions, which in this case are tan, brown.
So this was in... Was it shot in Scotland?
Yeah, it was shot in... It was originally trapped, so they caught it alive in a cage sort of trap in 1980 in Scotland. And I assume killed it, but maybe we can pretend it happily went to a zoo somewhere and then died of natural causes, and then they stuffed it. Although it looks pretty young, so maybe not.
Died of a sudden, unexpected heart attack, surrounded by loved ones.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. So that's it. That's it. That's all I have to say. Pretty conclusive on those two matters in my head.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
ABCs.
Even as a skeptic, I'm happy to come down on the there are alien cats in England thing. Because it doesn't involve believing like there's a new species or anything, or like the natural order is totally different. It's just like we know people had these in their private collections, and we know some of them would have let them out because they had incentive to do so.
Yeah.
So yeah, seems really plausible to me. I wonder what the number is. And I wonder if anyone's doing anything about it. Like, there's all these police reports.
Yeah. Well, they don't seem to be really attacking anyone too badly. I mean...
Yeah, wasn't there that dog that was attacked?
Yeah. There's a couple of dogs. There's a couple of, like, kids or young adults getting scratched in the face. In one case, I mean, they are attacking some people sometime, and then, like, a dog will save them. So, I suppose... But I think it's also because they're just so plentiful. They just got so... I mean, like, their food source is so plentiful. So why take on a human if you've got, like, heaps of deer and sheep and...
Rabbits
and they've
and
got,
stuff.
Like... Yeah. Yeah, rabbits, totally. Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool.
Cool.
We've agreed on everything today.
Oh, my God. Look at us go. Like a real team. Cool. Well, I'll finish up the episode by saying... that we're doing an Ask Me Anything for our 2-year anniversary. Have I told you this?
You've not, no. an AMA, okay. Yeah, sounds good.
I think I messaged it to you, but it may have been amongst other things. Yeah, so you know how last year when we did our first year anniversary, we thought it would be a great idea to get listener questions, but we forgot and left it to the last minute, and so we just asked each other questions.
I see. This time we're going to be organized.
Look right. How fucking prepared I am. Yeah, it's. I've been distributing the message since September. So we've had quite a few questions come in already, which is awesome. Some of them are real crackers. and keep them coming. You can send them to our social channels, Cryptid Addicted on Facebook or Cryptid _ Addicted on Instagram. We're on Reddit, Cryptid Addicted. You can email us, cryptidaddicted@gmail.com. Just send them in, keep them coming, they're great. And I don't know, maybe we ask each other 5 questions as well, that pointy questions if we want.
So a mix of listener questions and our own. That sounds good.
Yeah. Cool. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, it really helps grow
give
the channel.
Give us money. Yeah.
Give us money. help us grow, help us keep going.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, okay. Bye!